In his new book, The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War, historian David Nassau turns his attention to the gripping yet until now largely hidden story of the 1 million refugees left behind in Germany following the end of World War II. David Nassau is the author of the acclaimed biographies The Patriarch, Andrew Carnegie, and The Chief, which together have been named a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, winner of the Bancroft Prize, Lucas Prize, New York Historical Society's American History Book Prize, and one of the 10 best books of the year by the New York Times. Again, the name of the new book is The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War, and it's a great pleasure to welcome David Nassau to the roundtable this morning. David, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, pleasure to be with you.
What brought you to this initial project?
I guess as a historian, you know, I feel it's my responsibility to do two things. One, to fill in the gaps in our history or understanding of who we are as a people. And two, to give voice to the voiceless, to actors in history who we don't know about, we don't know their stories. And this was an opportunity to do both of those.
When you take on... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that we think we know what happened when the World War II ended. It was... We refer to it as the Good War. And we think when the war was over, we celebrated our victory over evil. And everything returned to normal. But that wasn't the case for the millions of people in Europe and in Asia who had been displaced by the war. What I learned in doing this book and the story I wanted to tell is how wars don't simply end when the soldiers go home. The pain and the suffering, especially for the civilians, continues long afterwards. And that's what happened with the last million.
Let us begin with that. With that term, the last million, where did that come from? How did that begin? And what did it ultimately represent?
When the war was up, when World War II was over, there were, you know, 8 to 10 million refugees in Germany, left behind in Germany. There were prisoners of war and political prisoners and forced laborers and slave laborers and, of course, the concentration camp victims. Within weeks, those who were able to walk home or to hitch a ride on a truck or to ride bicycles home did so. But they remained left behind by the end of the summer. The war had been over in May. By the end of the summer, 1 million refugees, the last million they were called, and the last million I call them in the title of my book. And these were the refugees who, either as in the case of the Jews, had no homes to return to, or in the case of Poles, Latvians, Lithuanians, Estonians, Ukrainians, for one reason or another, preferred not to go home, not to be repatriated, but to remain in displaced persons camps in Germany.
One of the things that I found so incredible that I did not know is that it was 1948 where the United States really was one of the last countries to accept refugees for resettlement and finally passed a displaced persons bill. Why did it take so long?
There was a disconnect, I believe, between the sentiments of the American people who understood that this was a nation of immigrants and wanted to help out the displaced persons of Europe and the Congress of the United States, which in this case I don't think was representative of the people. The Congress of the United States refused to do anything to resettle the displaced persons, the Poles, the Ukrainians, all of the Eastern Europeans, in the United States. It took 3 years before Congress finally passed a bill. And then that bill was passed, and with language that prohibited 90% of the Jewish survivors from entering this country on special displaced persons visas that were made available to other Eastern Europeans. And the reason for that was that by 1948, well, by almost immediately after the World War ended, the Cold War began. And congressmen, in large part a coalition of Southern Democrats and Midwestern Republicans, claimed wrongly, falsely, that the Jewish survivors, because they were predominantly Polish, and many of them had escaped the Nazis by crossing the border into the Soviet Union, that because they had spent time in the Soviet Union or in Poland, now dominated by the Soviet Union, we couldn't trust them. They were spies. They were subversives. They were national security risks. And therefore, we had to keep out the Jews. This is one of the oldest myths about Jews, that, you know, all Jews are Bolsheviks, subversives. But that was the reason that was given for keeping out the Jewish survivors.
So by 1952, where were we?
By 1952, the displaced persons, the last million, had been resettled all over the world, and a large number of them in the United States. But for the Jews, they had no choice. The Jewish survivors, they had no choice but to resettle in Israel, the only country on earth that accepted them. Of the 250,000 Jewish survivors, about 50,000 were allowed to enter the United States under the special DP legislation, Displaced Persons Acts. 155,000 to 200,000 went to Israel. Some stayed. Some left Israel as soon as they could to come back to the United States. The American people understood belatedly that it was our responsibility to do something for these people. But by the time that decision was made, these poor refugees, through no fault of their own, had spent 3 to 5 years in displaced persons camps in Germany.
David Nassau is our guest. The name of the new book is The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War. When it comes to the story and your writing of it, what give us a sense of how you were able to really rein it all in and to bring the story into something cohesive, considering obviously it spread all over the entire globe.
Yeah, I had to tell several stories at once. The displaced persons comprised hundreds of thousands of Polish refugees who had been pulled out of Poland by the Nazis to replace the German soldiers who were on the Eastern Front. Germany, in order to win the war, had to have laborers to, you know, bring in the harvest, to work in the factories, to work in the mines and the mills. And they got those by literally kidnapping hundreds of thousands of Eastern Europeans, mostly Poles and Ukrainians. So I wanted to tell their story. I also wanted to tell the story of the war criminals and the Nazi collaborators who, in the last months of the war, crossed the border into Germany because they knew they would be punished if they remained at home. And they crossed the borders into Germany. They disguised themselves as displaced persons. And because the Americans and the British and the Canadians and the Australians didn't pay attention, they were allowed to migrate to these countries. We don't know how many thousand war criminals disguised as displaced persons made their way into the United States. We know that hundreds were aided and abetted by the CIA and the military and the State Department because World War had given way to Cold War. And the Nazi collaborators were and had been fervently anti-communist and anti-Soviet. So the American establishment, American authorities, were willing to forget, to put aside the crimes that had been committed during the war in order to bring these anti-communists into the United States to fight a new war, a Cold War. And that is also a part of the story that I tell. It's a rich and powerful story that encompasses several continents, a million people, and fights in the United Nations over what would be the fate of these people. It's a story of World War, and it's a story of Cold War, and it's a story of a million innocent people caught in between.
Let us talk about what lessons that we learned from this and lessons that we didn't learn from this and the ramifications of what went through in this time that you chronicle in this book to what we're seeing today.
Yeah, it's a great question. The displaced persons, the Eastern Europeans, were the first large group of refugees displaced by war who were cared for by the international community, who were sheltered and given food and medical assistance when they needed it. And this was because in 1943, Franklin Roosevelt put together a coalition of dozens of states, including the Soviet Union, because he knew that the war would create a extraordinary refugee problem. So one of the things that we have to learn from this is that refugee problems are not going to be solved by any one country, that the nations of the world have to work together. And, you know, unfortunately, that is not the case right now in 2020. The second lesson that we have to learn from this is that our immigration policies, our refugee policies, our policies about refuge as a nation have to be based on fact, on reality, not on myths. The Jewish survivors were not communist subversives or operatives or saboteurs in 1945, 1946, 1947. And today's immigrants and refugees are not rapists, murderers, terrorists, drug peddlers. Some might be, but the vast majority are not. And we have to have an immigration policy that's based on reality, that's based on truth, and that also takes into account the fact that we are and have always been a nation of immigrants, and that humanitarian concerns should not be overwhelmed by myth, fears based in myth, and by geopolitical concerns.
And who monitors that anymore? Because, as you say, it seems that the fear is overshadowing the empathy that seemed like it existed at one time anyway.
Yeah, that's a brilliant way to put it. Fear has eroded empathy. And as a people, we've got to remember who we are. And we've got to put forward into our policies our humanitarian concerns. I mean, we're better as a people than our immigration policies. And we've got to work together with the other peoples of the world. I mean, Truman in 1943 understood this. And Americans until very recently, or the American Congress and the White House until very recently, has understood that the refugee problem is not going to go away, that it's not simply enough to put these people in camps and keep them caged there for years and years and years, in many cases for generations, that we've got to do better than that. And in order to do better than that, we've got to join an international coalition and work with others to solve the problem. The problem isn't going away by itself, and Americans can't solve this problem by ourselves, and we certainly can't solve this problem by raising higher and higher and higher the barriers against entry into this nation by people who want to be here and people who have a great deal to contribute.
The name of the new book is The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War. David Nassau, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
It's been my delight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, The Last Million, Europe's Displaced Persons from World War to Cold War. The book is published by Penguin Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.